The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. That was a strong ding.
It was a very strong ding.
I'm here as always with my co-host, Maddie.
Hey, that's me. Hello, everyone.
I didn't call you lovely. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
I heard it in my head, though, for what it's worth.
That's fair.
So we're good. We're square.
Okay. Today, very excited for today's guest. He is the host of several paranormal TV shows, all that happen to be on my new favorite streaming network, aside from Gas Digital, which is Discovery Plus, which I talk about every week now. And the shows are, I'm going to read them just to make sure I don't screw up little words. Portals to Hell, The Fright Club, and Osborne's Want to Believe. It is Jack Osborne. Welcome.
Hello, hello. How's it going?
Great. So really quickly, the way that we normally structure the show, there's three segments, and we usually do bad date, a fight story, and then paranormal stories.
Okay. But
because I'm terrified that I'm not going to get to ask you all the questions that I want to on the paranormal side, we're going to switch it around. We're going to start with paranormal. And then if that ever fizzles out, then we'll get to the other two segments. But I want to do paranormal stuff for sure.
Okay, fair enough. I can hang with that.
Great. So first, a little peek behind the curtain here. I was doing some research on you before the show, and I listened to you on another podcast, the name escapes me at the moment, that just, I believe, released today. And every single question that I had written down was asked to you on this other show.
Hey folks, make sure you find that podcast and have a good night. Thanks.
Yeah. So we're done.
We'll just chop that up and put it right here.
So I scrapped everything that I had. I started new. So I hope these aren't equally as hacky questions that somebody else already got to. So first of all, I feel like obviously everyone's going to ask you how you got started and how you got interested in everything paranormal. And I'm going to answer this for you really quickly so we can get past it. And it appears that back in the mid-2000s, or like around 2010, your agent offered you Haunted Highway, which was on Sci-Fi. So it kind of happened upon you. Is that right?
Yeah, it was kind of one of these random things where I just got done doing my show Adrenaline Junkie in Europe. And that went for like 5 seasons. And they syndicated that show to pretty much every country in the world except the United States. It was like the weirdest thing. We even were like Vatican approved, which was kind of funny. They played the show in Vatican City. And it was an adventure extreme sport kind of travel show. And my agent called me one day and he's like, hey, I know this isn't really your thing, but you want to go to this kind of audition, like chemistry test thing for a paranormal like ghost hunting show. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, why wouldn't I want to go do that? And and it just kind of became a real thing. And in the paranormal TV show world, it's kind of it's a really like tight knit community, and it's a bit of a tough shell to crack into. But, you know, the way that we did Haunted Highway was we shot it all ourselves. So it was very kind of Blair Witchy, and no one was really doing that at the time, which made for great television and was fucking horrible to make.
Yeah. Well, your hands are always full, so that's a pain in the ass right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you hold all these gadgets, these cameras, you gotta like, it's just a pain in the ass. Like, I mean, some of the roughest shoots of my life. But the end product was great, so it kind of made it worthwhile.
Yeah.
prior to that, had you ever done like an amateur ghost hunt on your own? Were you that into the paranormal?
Yeah, I'd done a few little things here and there. When I was a kid, I was into it. I was a massive X-Files nerd, just the biggest dork ever growing up. And that show was my life. Like I'm in my home office and I still have like X-Files books on my shelf from when I was a kid. So I was really into the subject of paranormal, unexplained, you know, strange phenomena kind of stuff. And I'd done a few, you know, Ouija board, seance-y kind of things and a couple ghost hunts growing up.
Any success with those?
No, but you know, my parents had owned a couple houses that were kind of had some weird stuff happen. And mm-hmm. Where we did this, one of these kind of seances was at this, my parents' old beach house. Okay. And it's funny, I actually got a message on Instagram from the current owner's mother saying, "Hey, I know you used to live at this house. Did you ever experience anything haunted going on here? Because the craziest shit keeps happening." And some of the weirdest things ever happened at that house. So yeah.
Did she have the same experiences that you remember having?
She said that she's just seen a lot of figures, and which happened to me on one really kind of prominent occasion. And it was where me and my dad both saw the same girl with long dark hair run down the stairs. And we were like the only ones in the house. And we both like sat up. We were like sitting in his TV, in his bedroom, watching TV, like laying on the bed. And we both like sat up and looked towards the door, which was over to the right. And I was like, "Who's here?" And he's like, "I don't know." And like, I went out and went downstairs and no one was in the house. And it was, yeah, it was really weird. Oh. And then he did the classic, like, "Oh, it was just our imaginations." And I'm like,
"Yeah, but both of our imaginations at the same exact time, yeah, seeing the same exact thing." Yeah, Dad. All right.
But that place was creepy. Like I used to hear people like walking around upstairs. My one friend, he woke up in the middle of the night and he said he was just like laying in bed paralyzed. And he said there was like 30 people stood in the bedroom, just talking to each other and walking around. Like, and he was just laying there and they would like talk to each other, then look at him. And he was just like completely frozen.
That, by the way, is easily the worst possible thing to happen, like with any ghost thing. It just hit me. You don't want to like suddenly be in their realm. Yeah, you know, that's horrifying.
How long did you end up staying in that house? Was it enough to like make you not want to stay there?
It was our beach house, so it was kind of one of those places, you know, we'd go for, you know, a few weeks here and there, and you know, on the weekend. So we weren't full-time living at that house. I used to spend a lot of time there. And it was in my youth when, like, you know, having the beach house to yourself and in my late teens was like the greatest thing ever, ghost or not. So I would just kind of ignore it and structure it to where I was rarely there alone. Mm-hmm. But like I said, like we had those door chimes that would, like, when a door opens, it would ding to let you know, like, you know, someone's at the back door or the front door. And all the time you would hear, like, it would go like ding, ding, ding. And you'd be like, and I'd go look at the alarm system, which would tell you, and it would be like back door open, go downstairs, back door would be closed, go back upstairs, would ding again. And it would be front door open, go downstairs, the front door would be closed. And it was constant stuff like that. I used to hear when I'd be upstairs, you'd hear like stuff moving around in the kitchen. When I'd be, you know, downstairs, you hear people walking around upstairs. It was a really wild place.
Have you considered doing a hunt there, like a paranormal investigation of that place?
I would love to, and I absolutely would. It's just owned by a relatively well-known and somewhat controversial music producer now. And I just don't think, given the climate that we're in these days, I don't think he would probably allow that.
Fair.
He had a couple. I think he got like Me Too'd. So I don't know if a TV network's going to be like, "Yay, let's film at the Me Too guy house."
Yeah. So, Fred, you find a different kind of demons over there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, yeah. And there were stories that came out from the house, and I'm like, yeah, there's some evil in that place for sure. I don't know if it's dead though. I think it's alive and well.
We hear children screaming every night.
Okay, so this is just a little bit of an aside. We've been talking on this show about going on a paranormal investigation for 100 years, probably since the inception of the show. And this year, I finally started buying some pieces of equipment for the investigation. However, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the equipment out there is really, you know, it's kind of, if you go to a website and it's all like painted with their logo and seems like it's made of plastic, it's like very weird equipment that they use. What would you say is the most essential equipment that you believe in and that like a new ghost hunter should be using?
So, man, it's so hard to say because like I've had the incidents where like, you know, the website bought ghost hunting device. I'm like, this is a pile of shit. And then bring it on investigation and you have like the craziest fucking experience with it. You know, it's so hit or miss. You know, for me, I love using a Melmeter. A Melmeter because it gives you like the milligauss reading on the screen and it's got a REM pod in it. It's got a thermometer. So it's kind of like thermometer. It's got three tools in one and it's just kind of really easy to hold.
What is the main thing that's measuring? What's the first word that you said?
So it's measuring electromagnetic frequencies.
Okay.
And so that's what comes up in the milligauss. And then the REM pod is like that thing that emits its own electromagnetic field, that if something with any kind of magnetic current like interacts with, it will beep and let you know, like, you know, whatever.
Is that the thing that has like a little antenna and you tell the ghost to touch it?
Yes, exactly. So a Melmeter has that built into it as well. So it's kind of cool. The REM pod, you can just get one of those hockey pucks with the antenna, you know, REM pods. And those are great. And I love using those. I've had some really amazing experiences with that tool. But then, you know, I mean, I always like to, if you can, if there's an analog version of a digital device, I like to have both. So like a recorder, most recorders now are digital, but if you can find an old tape recorder, that it's great too to have that, because sometimes you'll pick something up with the tape recorder that you didn't pick up with the digital or vice versa. You know, and if you want to spend the money, finding a really good ghost box that's made by like a reliable engineer that kind of understands the principle behind it, that's always a sound investment. But you're talking $1,000 to $3,000 for like a good ghost box.
Is that the thing that like plays that like AM radio frequency or something, and then you pick out words from it?
Yeah.
And so you believe in that?
Okay, so funny story about that. It depends on the box, and it depends on what the kind of spectrum is that it's pulling from. I'm very wary of ghost box that rely on any kind of app, because at that point it's not pulling from AM, FM. It's, or, you know, random.
It's just like randomizing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just randomized words from an app. But that being said, I've used ghost boxes that do run off apps that have some stuff has come out, which has, my jaws hit the ground and I can't to this day explain it. One incident, we were in the LaLaurie house in New Orleans, which is a very famous, you know, alleged haunted house. And we were using a ghost box and we asked, you know, how many people are in the room right now? And clear as day went nine. There were nine of us in the room. My iPhone can't even do that. If I ask Siri, hey, how many people are in the room? It's going to be like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, George Washington was born on it.
Yeah.
Totally random answer. So it was pretty interesting. And then I've had it to where it said full names of like members of our crew, or, you know, a name having to do with someone we are investigating. So it's really, you know, I would say if you have the ability, have an arsenal, try everything, you know, ghost hunting the way we do it. It's all fringe science at the end of the day. You know, there's no real, and ghost hunting is so hard to apply the scientific method. You can't replicate the same results numerous times because it's near impossible because you're dealing with like theoretical human, you know, spirits.
Right. When you guys used, I don't remember what the location was, but you used a bunch of flashlights and just kind of like undid them a little bit and then told whatever to turn them on or turn them off. And it, I don't know with editing the amount of time that passed, but it appears to be happening.
If you would like, I could screen share you right now and I could show you the raw footage, how quickly
I would
that was.
Love that.
All right.
Yep. That would be my favorite.
Yes, please.
Hold on. I'll show you the raw because that was one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me while making one of these. I'll hold this up. So this is taken from one of the stationary cameras. Katrina is sat nearest to the camera. Addison, our DP, is standing up to the right of her. And I'm all the way in the back, sat down by the door.
Can you, if we were communicating with you, if we were talking to you, can you do that again by setting off our equipment or turning on the flashlight?
I mean, it was within 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's not like a half an hour.
No. Wow.
That's pretty good. Okay, you said, okay, so I've heard you, I'm sure every single person asks you, what's the scariest thing that you've experienced? And I know that you often say it's really the fucked up histories behind places that really freaks you guys out the most.
Yes.
But and this is like, recording or not recording, which now it seems like that old beach house is some of the scariest stuff that you've encountered. But is there a place that after you've experienced something, you vow to never go back or do not want to be there alone again?
You know, it's funny because I guess the way I look at it is like in my civilian life, like before being a paranormal investigator, professional paranormal investigator. I technically could call myself that. Weirdly, I get paid for it. So yeah. Like going to that beach house was at that point some of the craziest stuff that happened. Now, having done the shows that I've done and the investigations that I've done, you know, anytime you're going to places that are, it's funny. I never have it in me to where I'm like, oh, I'm never going back there. Because if I get to a place of being like, I'm never going back there, it means something fucking wild probably happened, which is like the whole point in going to the places. I get kind of disturbed at any kind of mental health facility or institution. Those places really kind of weird me out because, I mean, there's some dark history connected to, you know, the way things were done, you know, in prisons and hospitals. And it's really sad on just even on a fact-based level. And then when you start throwing in like, oh, wow, look, you know, that door flung open in front of me. And then when you bring a psychic in and they're like, oh no, there's demonic entities here. Like that kind of makes me a little, it makes me excited to go home that night. That makes it, you know, puts it into perspective a little bit.
There you go, Shannon. That's the one we got near me. Letchworth.
Me too.
Oh, you got a mental health thing?
Yeah, that's the one that's now on Staten Island University that they took it over. I forget the name of it, but it's the one they did on Maury Povich a million years ago.
Were there horror stories there? Because I've heard horror stories from this one.
Yeah, this is the one where I think we may have shown this on the show before, but they were like totally severely underfunded. And so they wouldn't have enough beds or anything. So they would have a full floor that would look like a warehouse where there would be just people sitting on the floor, rocking back and forth, like a bare concrete floor. and they just kept them in that way. They also, back then in like the 80s, they referred to any sort of disability as like a mental disability. And so people with like muscular dystrophy mm-hmm. or something, and they'd be like, oh no, they're brain damaged. Let's just throw them in there. And their brain was perfectly fine. Their body was the problem. And they just threw them in there. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's bad.
Dark history.
Yeah, like if you go to, you know, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum or Pennhurst or, you know, these places where they just, I mean, Trans-Allegheny, there's stories of husbands back in like the late 19th century just dropping their wives off there indefinitely if they were PMSing.
I get it.
And it's, you're just like, oh wow, like that was a thing. Like there was no rhyme or reason. It was like, no, let's give her a fucking lobotomy and lock her in a room for the like, so wrong.
You gotta admire their gusto a little bit, no? You know, that's back when men were men.
We're gonna go through a list of paranormal entities or situations. And I want you to tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being as certain as you are that you are sitting here right now, and 1 being this is like a dream I had, like totally not real. I want you to rate them from 1 to 10 if you believe that they exist or not. First one, spirits of dead people.
Yes, but not as common as people would think.
1 to 10.
1 to 10, 5.
Okay. Demons or angels?
Wait, hold on. I need to preface that, spirit of death people, because are we talking intelligent or residual?
That's a good point. That is a good point. Let's say, 100%. Let's do both. We'll start with residual.
Residual, I would put it at an 8 or a 9.
Okay.
And intelligent, I would probably put it around a 4.
Okay. Demons.
I would see, I'm going to parcel this up as far as existence of them. I would say yes, probably around a 7 or, you know, a 6 or a 7.
Okay.
Frequency of them, 2.
Okay.
You know, what's funny is I just watched on Discovery Plus. They're not paying me to do this. I talk about them every freaking week and they should pay me, I think.
It's the greatest fucking streaming service ever.
It really
is. And everyone's
is.
Like, oh, you're just saying that. I'm like, no, everything is on that.
Yes, all there's like 190 Day Fiancé spinoffs. Yep. They're amazing.
I don't know. HBO Max has got Looney Tunes on it, so I might be a little bit partial.
Oh, there's some Looney Tunes on the Discovery Plus app, all right? Just not the ones you're talking about.
So they have a documentary that's about, it's not very well done, but it's about the true story behind the movie The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I mean, it doesn't prove anything in its favor. It's really just like, and then the person was talking in like an not of this world voice, which is just like anybody can do that. And they're saying whenever the priest would leave the room, that's when things would happen. That's how somebody who's faking it does it. Like it just, there was nothing about it that really proved it, except for the fact that they sanctioned that exorcism, which they just never do.
Do you want to know something interesting? The Vatican now has, they've basically said that more possessions and exorcisms are occurring now than like ever before. And they're like certifying more like actual exorcists than ever before in like the entire Catholic Church's history.
I mean, that's got to be because of the internet, like the same way everyone's into politics now because of the internet. Yeah. I feel like that the internet can be blamed for that. Unless, do you think that it's some sort of uprising?
I mean, I guess it just depends. You know, it's funny because paranormal investigating through any kind of religious lens completely changes that individual's experience.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you if you deal with anyone with any kind of Catholic upbringing, you know, they're going to absolutely believe in demonic entities. They're going to believe in, you know, heaven and hell and angels. And, you know, for me, I kind of tend to, I don't know, like, I've been in places where I'm like, wow, this is a really evil kind of vibe here right now. Could I clearly state that it was some demon that, you know, has a really fancy Latin name? No. Have I been in places where there is no alleged demon and it feels just as dark and evil? Yes. So it's really, it's so subjective.
So would you say that you would attribute that, at least that feeling, more to the shitty things that happened in the place, leaving that residual energy, as opposed to some like odd entity?
You know, okay, take Bobby Mackey's, for instance. Yes, there's been deaths and murders on that property, but nothing compared to like a, you know, one of the prisons or insane asylums I've investigated. But yeah, Bobby Mackey's has this really fucked up, dark, twisted, evil feeling to it. And there's no explanation. It's just weird.
What's the story behind that one again?
Bobby Mackey's is in Kentucky, and it's an old honky tonk bar out in the middle of the sticks. I'm trying to think where it's near Cincinnati, over the river. And it's just, it's been a bar for a long time, and it was like an underground casino, and the mob owned it. And, you know, so it's had a lot of kind of nefarious history. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, they believe that, oh, the land was cursed by Native Americans, and they think that, you know, there's wells under the property, and they think that that could bring in some kind of negative energy or a portal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no real crazy history that's documented about the property. There's a lot of hearsay, and I don't like to really operate in hearsay when I'm doing. I think too many ghost shows do that.
Amen. We talk about that all the time. Like, that's what I think we were talking about this last week, but I just really appreciate that in Portals Tell, you guys really do so much research and make sure that you're not just listening to the stories that the other paranormal investigators are telling you. Like, you listen to it with like a critical ear. And
honestly, that's Katrina. Like, that's Katrina's area of expertise. Like, you know, I'll hear, you know, if we're staying in a hotel and she's above me, like, I'll hear her like rooting around her room and doing research until 3-4 in the morning sometimes. And she's like calling people and getting police records. And she really does an amazing job finding truth through the rumor mill. And a lot of, you know, it's funny, like, I'll watch other ghost shows that either go, you know, after places that we've been to or been before we've gone to them. And the information they give is just so much conjecture and so much just rumor that it's like a bum out. You're like, hey, you know, the true story is just as scary. It's just might not be as elaborate.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes people just lie for the sake of lying, it seems like. So what are you doing? It was good. It was a good story before. You didn't have to fucking go nuts.
Right.
And then we killed the guy. No, you didn't. You're lying.
But then we brought it back to life, so we can't go to prison.
There you go. Exactly.
I'm going to go back to this list. 1 to 10 ratings. Aliens from another, or let's say extraterrestrial aliens.
12. Absolutely.
Have you ever seen anything?
I've seen some things that I don't know what they were. And it was one thing that pops out was I was out in the desert on like a, me and some friends went to this like gun range in the mountains, and they let us stay till after dark, and we were like shooting at night, and we were just kind of hanging out, and my friend goes, hey, check out that satellite. And this satellite was kind of flying above us, and we're like, oh, that's cool. And then all of a sudden it started zigzagging and then shot off and like got incredibly bright and like went probably 10 times the size of its original and then shrank and it was gone. And I'm like, well, that wasn't a satellite. And that wasn't, I've never seen a meteorite do that. So, yeah. And we were all just like speechless.
Yeah. I feel like the desert's where that stuff always ends up happening.
Right.
What about interdimensional beings?
Yes, absolutely. I would say probably up there with, I would say 9 or probably 10. I absolutely believe in interdimensional beings.
Do you think that there is a crossover between interdimensional beings, ghosts, and UFOs?
Yes, but that's a, I think it's like a different category. I think when you describe UFOs as interdimensional, I actually think that time travel is at that point, to a degree. I think that's like one offshoot. I think Bigfoot is an interdimensional being.
Yeah, I'm on that one now.
I think that, you know, by definition, when you encounter an intelligent spirit, it technically is an interdimensional being. But I don't think actual contact with intelligent spirits is as common as people think.
Okay. Reincarnation.
Probably nine.
I've been listening to Experiments in Truth by Ram Dass. It's really flipping my whole world upside down about how I feel about ghosts and spirits and stuff like that, because it really, we talk about on the show, and I heard you talk about this on the other show too, so I don't want to go into it too much, but about, you know, how we kind of fall on the side of thinking that this isn't our first time, you know, around. And I believe, or I like to believe, that like we choose this life for all of the issues that we're going to have in it, because we have things to work out. And Ram Dass kind of talks about that as well. But like, as far as like soulmates and stuff, there isn't really, in his view, there isn't a separation between our souls. It's basically all the same thing. And we're just separated into this like incarnation.
Yeah.
But if that's, go ahead.
I kind of have, it's funny, I was talking to my girlfriend about this the other night, and I'm like, you know, I was like, it's really odd when you think about the fact that like you're born into this body, you have this meat stick that you kind of, you know, plot around the planet in, but there could be things going on in your body that you have no idea about. Like when people get cancer and they have it for a year or two before they go to the doctor, and then they're like, oh no, you're riddled with cancer. Like if we were truly connected to our bodies, you would be able to tell there's a problem. It's like your computer. Like when there's a problem and you've got some software on there, it's like, hey, there's a problem. You need to fix it.
Yeah. And so
for me, it kind of furthers that notion of like, I don't actually think our bodies, like who we are is genuinely connected to our bodies.
I agree with that. And to take it a step further though, do you think that maybe spirits that people encounter, or let's just say ghosts, that they are the result of a soul in a body that connects too much with the body, and when they die, they don't remember who they originally are?
I think that is very much a plausible scenario, you know, when dealing in that, you know, if you are in fact dealing with that, you know, I kind of, over the last 3 years, have I told you my like weird theory on what I think ghosts are for the most part?
Well, tell me again.
Okay. So I kind of have this, it's just a theory. But I actually think I would probably go as far as to say between 70 and 80% of hauntings are actually, we're encountering an undiscovered energy that's forcing us to have some kind of hallucination. Okay. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone on a ghost hunt and you're sat next to someone and they're like, oh my God, I just saw someone walk down the hallway. And you're like, yeah, but I was just looking, and they're so convinced they saw it. Well, what if there's some strange, I don't know if it's radiation, electromagnetic energy, whatever, but when we encounter it, it can produce hallucinations or auditory hallucinations. Just like people that live under power lines, they can get sick after a period of time. They can get headaches and they can get nauseous. But you go to a scientist and you're like, hey, this person got sick living under power lines. And they're going to go, oh, that doesn't exist. That can't happen.
We need the power.
Yeah. So that's one thought I've had about it. You know, it doesn't discredit the remainder, you know, 20%, which I do think that, you know, that includes residual and intelligent hauntings. But I actually don't think hauntings are to what we think they are as common as we would like them to be.
I think that's fair, because I think you can look at, like, you know, with the ghost hunting equipment, that EMF detector, I forget the other thingy that you called it, but, you know, it could be like the opposite, where it's not that if there's a ghost, you can detect it by the EMFs going up, but that because the EMFs go up for some other reason is what's making you interpret whatever's happening as a ghost.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Maddie, you're not?
I mean, yeah, it's no less possible than anything else, right? It almost makes complete sense.
Exactly. What one other theory that I have is actually that, you know, environmental toxicity, which is causing people to hallucinate. So if there's mold or any kind of, you know, toxic fungus in the house, what are magic mushrooms? That's mold. It's you know, it's fungi. So like, what if you're in a house investigating for ghosts and you're inhaling for hours fucking toxic spores and you start hallucinating?
That's fair, especially with like the power of suggestion surrounding that whole circumstance. That makes sense. I have one more thing, just because this just popped. God, you have something about that, Maddie?
No, I was gonna say I was on the my latest theory on all of it: Bigfoots, the UFOs, ghosts, whatever paranormal. It's all interdimensional. But I like the fucking there's magic mushrooms on the walls theory. That Jack has come up with. It's not bad. It makes fucking just as much sense as anything else. Like, look, we're all talking to each other on this magic machine with microphones. None of us know how any of this fucking works.
Nope.
It's just as possible. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck do I know? I'm an idiot.
And it's funny too, because I'm
drunk.
There's a magical phenomenon occurring. A strange elixir you drink.
But
it's,
one more
it's all magic to me.
I have one more thing about souls that I'm curious what you think about. So, okay, I haven't completed this thought yet, but this is something because I'm listening to the Ramdas thing today, and this is what I was thinking about. So the type of people that are, let's say, sociopaths, serial killers, the types that we will refer to them as not having a soul. Do you think that now along the same line of thinking as before with the soul and it's all one, I just always try to figure out, like, how is it fair that those people, let's say they don't have a soul, come in with no soul, and their purpose here is just to, like, cause harm and evil, but maybe they're on their first time around, and they're so far away from being enlightened that they're just doing evil. I don't know. I can't reconcile what the point of those people are.
Yeah. No, it's so true, because, then you start getting into the nature versus nurture kind of, you know, were they born that way, or did the trauma they experienced in their kind of upbringing create that? And, you know, if they hadn't have had that experience, would their soul kind of retain some kind of moral compass?
Right.
You know, it's such a tough call, you know, and I often just equate it. It's just the balance of the universe. Not everyone can be good. Not everyone can be enlightened. Like, everything is about balance. And for every 10 amazing, beautiful, wonderful people, you kind of need, you know, that two or three piece of shit serial killers to balance the force.
Okay. I accept it.
All I'm thinking about is how, like, that thinking, right, which I believe in, which is why anytime something is going good in my life, I'm waiting for the fucking, what's the saying, the other shoe to drop? What the fuck is the, I guess I'm an idiot. I don't know. Yeah.
No, exactly. I fully agree.
Back to the list. On what you believe, 1 to 10, possession of people.
Man. Tough one. I'm 50-50 on it, so I'm going to say 5.
Have you ever seen any evidence of this happening?
Driving around to LA, and you go onto some of these overpasses where there's tent cities, there's some very, very strange...
That's the thing. That's how I feel about it. It's like, how much of the exorcisms of the past were all like either mental illness or just like some kind of crazy drug trip, like a PCP or something. You know what I mean? Like, those are the kind of people you would think, oh, there's a demon possessing that man's body. You see the guy who got shot by the cop with the stick and he's like clearly on PCP.
Yeah. And he's just not stopping. And the guy,
yeah.
12 fucking times he got shot, and he was just taking it and just kept walking.
Yeah, dude. In 1710, that guy's a demon. Like, he's possessed by a demon, you know?
Possession of or attachment to objects.
Yeah, I'm probably 50-50 on that.
And have you, I know that you on the show with your parents talk about Robert the Doll.
He's right
often.
There.
Oh, there he is. Have you gone to see the real Robert the Doll?
I have, yeah.
And yeah. Did you do anything mean to him?
Oh, hell no. 50-50 is 50% is still enough to where I'm not going to fucking poke the bat, you know? If it was 0%, maybe then I'd be like, you know, making dick jokes to Robert. But
if I'm driving home tonight, there's a 50-50 shot of me flipping my car. I'm not driving tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Psychics or mediums?
10.
Mediums too?
The ones that are legit, 100%. The women that I've worked and the men that I've worked with, fucking mind-blowing. Now, have I also met some really bullshit charlatans?
Shysters,
call me now for your free reading kind of thing, you know? Yes.
Have you seen the lady on Surviving Death? Right.
Tommy.
That's her. Hi guys. Oh, dude, I had to hide in my shirt until she was done.
And it was so embarrassing. I called my mom because she was watching it after I told her to watch it, and I was like, I want to hide in my own ass watching that shit.
it's really fucking douchey, dude. And
I couldn't pick it back up after that. Like I saw that, I can't finish it.
Meanwhile, the next episode, I wept like a girl for fucking an hour and a half easy. Thinking about my dead dog.
Right.
Sad boy. What's that?
They say dead dogs go to the Rainbow Bridge. That's what they say.
Hope she's somewhere nice.
Cats too?
I think so.
No. Okay, they get kicked off of it.
How dare you?
Nasty.
How dare you?
For being selfish lovers or whatever.
The late cats are selfish lovers? Is that what you just said?
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm a drunk.
Oh my god. The lady that you have on, Michelle, something with a B is her last name. And again, the magic, and you don't have to reveal anything because you have her come in usually and she's blindfolded and she's not supposed to know anything.
There's no magic in TV behind that one.
She seems amazing.
She is. Michelle is not of this, she's not made of the same stuff I am or you. I mean, she's on a different wavelength. She's one of the smartest people I've ever met. I mean, she's written over like 60, 50 books, something like that. She's got a PhD, highly intelligent, you know, woman. And she's just gifted, man. And there's no other way to put it. I've seen her do things and talk about scenarios where the only way she would know is if she'd done crazy extensive research, which she doesn't do.
There are times when even if she had been clued in onto where she is and everything, where I remember there was one, I don't remember where it was, but you guys walked her into a room and she said, if I were to take off my blindfold right now and look down, would there have been a blood spot at some point? And it's like, unless she's counting steps up until this moment, even if she researched it, it's still pretty great.
Yes. And there was one where she told us the color of the room that she was in. And even if she had even if she'd done research, the only photos that exist of that facility were in black and white. So there was no way of really telling what color the wall was. And she's like, yeah, the wall's like a light kind of almost like pea soup green. And that was the color of the wall. Then it's pitch black. She's in a blindfold. We've got flashlights and there's only black and white photos. Like, how the fuck could you tell that?
That's great. Last one, simulation theory, 1 to 10.
Man. I'm only going to agree with it because Elon Musk agrees with it. And that guy's smart as shit. So if he's like, no, we're living in a simulation, like, I concur.
So 10 or 5?
I would say 10. Yeah.
Okay.
How many you got? Whatever the highest number is, that's it.
That's what you say, Manny? You're 10?
Oh, God. Yeah. None of it feels real anymore.
No.
You know? Maybe it's a psychotic break, but you know, I'm just hoping it's a simulation at this point. That's the best case scenario.
I just watched a movie. I don't remember. I don't remember anything. But it's a Selma Hayek and Owen Wilson. Blist, I think, was the name of it. And I can tell by both of your faces you haven't seen it. But
never heard of it.
Owen Wilson, he just has a shitty life. It opens up to like him being in like his shitty job and whatever. And then he goes to a bar and meets Salma Hayek. Anyway, long story short, it ends up that they are in a simulation. And, but it was created by Salma Hayek's character. She's a doctor in like the present time and created this fake world as like shitty and like full of poverty so that people in the present day would appreciate how beautiful the world was now. But when he was in the simulation, obviously he had no clue. And spoiler alert, if anyone wants to watch it, skip ahead. But he ends up getting so attached to the simulation that he stayed in it. Which is similar to the whole thing about, you know, soul attachment to body. Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like though for the simulation theory to be true, you would all have to be a figment of my imagination.
No, in which a case, like of the creator's imagination. It's a figment of the creator's imagination.
Yeah, but how am I experiencing it? You know what I mean? Like, how am I sensing everything and taking it all in? How do I have a consciousness if my consciousness is created by somebody? I guess is the question. Does that make sense? Or is that just the ramblings of a drunk?
No, I get that.
Could be both, not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I often think that, you know, a big thing, you know, to your point of like why people won't go on to the other side if they're too attached to that body. You know, I think one of the main reasons, this is just theory, but like if you're afraid that you want a good person, you're not going to want to go to the light because you don't know if that's a light to hell or a hell.
Yeah.
So you're going to be like, oh, wait, no, fuck that. I'm going to stay right here. No.
That's why I won't try DMT.
Or do that way you can just go hard charge it to the light when you die.
Scary. It's scary thoughts right there.
Right? Yeah.
So that's
the funny thing is, it's like, and I talk about this a bit, like it does get really depressing when I'm out on the road for weeks on end doing ghost hunts because we're dealing in such a, it's a bottomless pit of questions for one. And the subject matter is so depressing because it's all death. It's all looking for people who died or, you know, and recounting these crazy, sad stories. And it really, it weighs heavy after a while. It's like, you know.
A lot of existential crisis-y thinking.
Totally. It just makes me want to come home and just like hug my kids.
What do you think happens when you die?
Man. I mean, I don't know. So I'm going to quote the great prophet Keanu Reeves when he goes, you know, he famously said, I don't know, what did he say? He said, the only thing I know is the people that love you will miss you.
Okay. It's not very comforting.
But we don't know. Like that's for me. Like, there's what I know and what I choose to believe. And they're two separate things. You know, I choose to believe that there is some other journey we go on. What the specifics of that journey is, I have no idea, but I don't think it's a lights off type thing. I think there are too many feelings which have weight for them, but weight in them, like for, and I have this argument with my mom because she's like, oh, when you die, the lights go off and that's it. And I'm like, I disagree. Yeah. Like what I always say is like the love I have for my kids for me is so real, but you can't quantify that. You can't, there's no substance. It's just a very dense, real feeling. And so I say, you know, that has to be for something, that energy has to have some mass to it.
Yeah. Two things. One, I never realized your mom was so much of a bummer, but two, I feel like it's such a waste of time to have a consciousness just to have it not exist. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like it just seems like why bother with any of it then?
the universe is eternal, but our shot at experiencing it is fucking what, maybe 80 years?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I guess I'll go fuck myself then.
Yeah, like, I don't buy that. I just think there's too much cool shit. And like, you know, the more you read about these, DMT and shit like that, not that I've done it, but like, it's kind of compelling. Like, I'm like, yes, maybe there's something to that.
There's like too much to all of it to not get any more than this. I got these stupid fucking, you know, whatever. Go ahead.
Hasn't your mother had more than one near-death experience?
Yes. She's had two full-on out-of-body experiences. And, but yet she still thinks.
Just like, bullshit. Yeah, whatever she says.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, floated above your dying body before. Like, what the fuck?
So mom's stubborn too. All right. Right?
Well, that's you know what it is? She's just very English.
Okay.
All right, guys, before we go any further, I want to remind you and tell you a little bit again about YoKratom.com. First of all, if you've never heard of Kratom before, or if you're under the age of 21, this is not your business. Skip forward like 30 seconds or so. But if you are of age and you are a Kratom participant, user, I don't know what they call it, but if you've heard of Kratom before, if you use it, this is for you. You have heard us, especially on this episode, talk about Kratom extensively. And in these times, who knows what store is open, who knows where you're going to get it, whatever website you use, you don't know if the strain that you like is going to be there, what kind of crazy prices they're going to charge you. At YoKratom.com, they have any strain that you could possibly want. And they have their own proprietary strain called Trainwreck, which is a combination of 11 different strains all mushed up into one. That's my personal favorite. They come in powders, capsules, tinctures. And I've talked to some of the guys at YoKratom because they're the freaking best. And they have some awesome new products coming up. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what they are, not yet. But keep your eye out on YoKratom.com because they have some really fun stuff coming. So once again, it's YoKratom.com. And they are, of course, the home of the $60 kilo. And as you, somebody who is familiar with Kratom knows, that is literally unheard of anywhere. It's amazing quality and amazing value, and you're not going to find that anywhere else. Once again, go to YoKratom.com, get yourself a $60 kilo, and keep an eye on the website because they have fun stuff coming in the new year. Let's get back to the show.
All right. I think I went through all of my paranormal questions.
Okay.
We are at about an hour. So here's what I'm going to do. I'll tell you the other two segments. You pick the one that you want to tell us a story for, and then we'll wrap.
Okay.
Okay. So one is a bad date. So your worst date experience ever, or weirdest sexual experience, meaning something went wrong, or that's one section, or a fight story. A physical altercation that you've been in, if you've been in multiple, the most memorable one. So you can pick one of those two segments.
Man, let's see. I'm trying to think what's going to get me in the least amount of trouble. I'm trying to think.
So I'm out with my girlfriend and this bitch, I'll tell you.
No, okay, I'll go with the fight story because I don't think I've actually told this story.
Bad things with you.
So it was many, many, many years ago, probably nearing 20 years. It was back in like the Osbournes heyday. I think it was summer of 2002. And I was at this club in Los Angeles, very much under the age of 21. But back then there was no, like, TMZ wasn't really a thing. It wasn't, like, you could get away, and there was no camera phones. You could get away with fucking murder in LA back then, as a lot of people did. so I'm out at this club, and the way this club was massive, this place was like, it was colossal big. And there was a dance floor with a balcony that went all the way around it. And I was sat up on the balcony with my friend Kimberly, and we're at this table, and everyone, it's just Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, everyone is just heathenously drunk and crazy in this place. It was DJ AM was DJing that night. It was when he was, you know, alive and a beautiful, wonderful human being, like just the king of LA anything back then. And I'm up there, and all of a sudden, this glass, I'm sat there, comes whizzing over from the dance floor, like up onto the balcony, and smashes into the wall a foot away from mine and my friend Kimberly's face. And I'm like, what the f-? And I go looking over to the balcony, and there's a guy stood at the bottom, like in the middle of the dance floor, looking up, like to see you look over and look over me, and starts just going like, fuck you, you're a fucking, and like going crazy. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I like lean over, I'm like, fuck you. And I had there was some ice from the bucket, and I threw the ice at him. So this guy from, you know, when I'm 30 feet above him on the balcony, I look down, I'm like, all right, just a guy. I see him go the stairs, and this guy is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, he's out of steps, but he's still getting bigger. What's happening?
And I'm like, what the fuck? And I see him, and my friend Kimberly had this friend named Ross. And I'm like, I go to her, and she's fucking wasted. Her eyes are rolling around her head. She's so drunk. I'm like, Kim, where the fuck is Ross? Because Ross was a bit of a fighter, and he rolled in a pretty ominous crew. And she's like, I don't know. This guy Ross was in like he was like in the table behind me, and he heard me yelling, where's Ross? The guy that threw on this glass was probably a black gentleman, 6'5", very, very large, could have easily mopped the floor with my drunk 16-year-old, you know, fat Afro ass. And he comes running up and he grabs me. Ross, somehow in his drunken, you know, party face, somehow heard me saying, where the fuck is Ross, from like behind me. I just, out of the corner of my eye, see this guy, Ross, running on the tables, grabs the guy, and proceeds to just lay waste to this gentleman's face as they're falling to the ground. The entire nightclub erupts in like a saloon style brawl. There's tables and glasses. Like, my friend Alex jumps in, he gets his nose broken, and it's just absolute chaos.
It's just all around you, no one's
all
touching
around
you.
Me. I'm like trying to stop my friend Kim from fighting. It was like a Wild West brawl. It ends up like 10 of us get like thrown out from all the security. We're out on the street. And then the guys that were fighting realize that, wait, now that they're all outside together, they then continue to fight again. It was just fucking pandemonium. And that was a wild one. I'm like, I somehow managed to get away unscathed. My friend Alex got a broken nose. I think Kim lost a shoe, and Ross saved the day.
Are you still awesome. Friends with Ross today?
I'm good friends with one of his good friends. I train, he's my jiu-jitsu instructor. And I'm very good friends with Kimberly and Alex still. We've all since grown up immensely because we all have kids now, and you know, but yeah, that was a classic story back
that's
then.
Crazy. Wow. How did it finally fizzle out? Did everyone just get tired?
Everyone just got manhandled by like 20 giant bouncers and thrown into the street. And then and then we all promptly were like, quick, get in a cab. Let's get the fuck out of here, 'cause the cops are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's great.
But I actually let the record show, I never actually hit anyone. I never did anything but throw ice at someone. So, and I just somehow managed to just dodge.
That's great. Well, that's a great way to end the show. Thank you so much for answering my 1,000 questions and for telling your stories. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to do a quick round of plugs and we'll get going. Start with you, Maddie.
Trying to get my lights back to what I want them to be at. You could follow me on Instagram and all that stuff at Jester Skulls. And I think Twitter now. Let's see. What am I now? Because I got kicked off for trying to be cute.
You got kicked off of Twitter?
Of course I did. To be fair, I was kind of trying to get kicked off of Twitter. I was like, I was really tall. I was popping a lot of shit, as the kids say. So now I'm at Dr. Ding Daddy. That's my new Twitter handle, and you can find me on Twitch at Jester's Skulls when I'm getting that set up. That's going now. That's fun you times.
You did after you got kicked off of Twitter, you didn't try your hand at what was that?
Oh, he did.
Parler. He did. I did, but I was like, I went on. I'm like, nobody else is here. Like, well, I was in a fucking room by myself, following no one. It sucks on there.
QAnon Shaman was there, bro. What more did you need?
Yeah. So yeah, that's it.
Jack, what would you like to plug?
Portals to Hell. I think we're coming back with new episodes. Go get just get Discovery Plus, because anything I do right now is on there anyway. We just shot more Osborne's Wanna Believe. We got more Portals to Hell coming, and Fright Club is on. So yeah,
very good show too. The Portals to Hell. Usually Thank those you. Kinds of shows stink, but this is a good one. This it's fun to watch.
And the reason I kind of I don't know I made the show that I wanted to watch because I was tired of watching shitty ghost hunting shows.
There you go. That's how you gotta do it.
Speaking of making the shows that you want to watch, so I have been talking about, like I said before, doing a ghost hunt here. Most of our guests are comedians, and so my idea is to go ghost hunting and bring a comedian or two, one that's a believer, one that's not a believer, and do a ghost hunt, because it would be a lighthearted, fun thing. Totally. And you kind of are the comedy relief on Portals to Hell, because like it seems the more you get nervous, the more jokes you crack. but wouldn't it be a great idea? And if you use this idea, then you have to use me to help. And it would be to maybe on another season or a different show altogether, but you ghost hunt with celebrity friends or other celebrity ghost enthusiasts. For example, we've had Andy Dick on the show. Andy Dick goes and ghost hunts by himself in California. How fun would that be?
To the surprise of no one, by the way.
I'm just pretty sure Andy's got like some demonic possession anyway. So,
but how fun would that be to like go ghost hunting with Andy Dick?
It would be something. That's for sure. Right?
Doing anything with Andy Dick is a fun fucking night. Are you crazy?
so, but yeah, I mean, like just like you plus guests, I think would be a really fun show.
Listen, I think it all, it, I mean, really, ghost hunts come down to location. If you've got the right location, it doesn't matter who you're with. But yes, I think having the blend of a believer and a non-believer always, it just, it gives the viewer that extra perspective.
Right. I agree. Okay. Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982, wherever you listen to the show. You can also watch it live for free every single
Tuesday
at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That's for free. If you use promo code TTI, I'm sorry, I just did another show with all different plugs and now I'm all screwed up in my mind. Use promo code TTI, you'll get a 2-week free trial plus access to all the other amazing shows on the network, and that's a risk-free trial. If you listen on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to rate, review, and tell a friend. That's how the show grows. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs, and we have the new unicorn. The white unicorn hoodie is now in the merch store, podcastmerch.com. If you have stories to submit, bad dates, fighting, and ghosts, any of those stories, send it to thethingispodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.